I'm going to read my scripture, but you guys, go ahead. You've been standing for the baptism stuff. Go ahead and sit down before I read my scripture. I'm going to keep the team up here for a little bit. Again, if this is your first time, we're so glad you came. You're a guest here at our church. We hope that you are welcome. You feel comfortable. Our team gets uncomfortable so you can be comfortable. So we're glad that you came out. If you believe, don't believe, I don't know what it is, but can I tell you something? We're glad you came. You're always welcome at this house. We're grateful for you. Thanks for coming out. Can we welcome our first-time guest? Thank you for coming out. We're actually in a series called Stuffed because it's Thanksgiving and we've been learning how to be thankful, which means stuffed with thankfulness, because we just believe that Jesus gave thanks a lot and we want to live a life full of thankfulness, because honestly, if you just look around, we just, criticalness and complaining, it's just not going anywhere. It just ruins our week. So we've switched and said, let's learn how to be thankful, because we've seen so much fruit that comes from thankfulness. So we're in the last week of Stuffed In. I was so excited when God really rested on my heart to speak about this message I'm talking to you today. It's one of my favorite scriptures that maybe you have possibly heard of. It's about when Jesus feeds the 5,000 people with a little boy's lunch, a little Lunchable, right? Those little pizza Lunchables, you know? I think they had those back then. Jesus had the first Lunchable, guys. That's what this was. It was just fish and bread. It wasn't pizza and nasty cold sauce. If you ate that, who warmed their pizza Lunchable up? Anybody else? You ate it cold? Dear Lord, we need more grace than I realized today. Oh, anyways, I had to find a microwave. We're going to be in Mark. This is one of the accounts. It's actually found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This story is told four times from four different perspectives. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they were talking about their perspective of what happened on this day. And I'm going to read it for you. So if you don't have a Bible, you can look at the screen. If you want a Bible before you leave, we'll give you one at the hub. Just say, hey, I need a Bible. It's free. Free of charge. So Mark 6 says this: the apostles gathered and around Jesus and reported to him all they had done, that's his disciples, and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Let's hold it up there. Go back to verse 31. Did you hear what Jesus told them? Go back one more. Let's go to a quiet place and get some rest. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap. Can I get an amen, someone? Jesus says nap, I'm gonna nap. Some of you have been doing it all week. No, you need to get up and do something. I'm talking about people who've been working all week. Two jobs, three jobs, take a nap. Verse 32. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place, but many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, meaning they were lost, they were confused, they didn't have hope. Are you glad that we serve a Jesus who stays and hangs out with those who are lost? I don't know if what church has told you, but we're supposed to be the people who see they don't have a shepherd. I want to be with them. I want to spend. Jesus was so moved by their brokenness that he stepped into their situation. I don't know what church has taught. Clean yourself up before you go to church. No. We say come broken. Come broken, because that's what actually attracts Jesus to your situation. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, an empty place, and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. These are the disciples telling Jesus what to do. But Jesus said this: you give them something to eat. They said to him, that would take more than a half year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? He asked, go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Enter the Lunchable. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven. Jesus, everyone help me out, gave. Gosh, it sounds like we're at a funeral. Jesus gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided 2 fish among them all. I think it was walleye, because that's God's food. They all ate and were satisfied. Let's leave it there. They all ate and they were stuffed. Sean International Version. They were stuffed. Verse 43. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. What a story. I believe this. As followers of Christ, I believe this happen, not only did this happen, I believe God still does miracles today. I've seen it firsthand, and it takes faith and believing, but it's true. He really does. Lord, I pray right now that you would bless my words. I pray that these would be your words and not my words, that whoever's here, that they would just hear today what you want to speak into their heart. Lord, I thank you, Father God, for all those who ventured out today, and I just pray if they came empty that they're going to leave full. Thank you, Father God, for seeing us even when we're broken, that you still want to do life with us, and you still do life with us. You're so good. And Lord, honestly, the Bears, they need one today. I know it's the 9-1 Eagles, but you can still do the impossible, Lord. You fed the 5,000. You can give Trubisky 5 touchdowns today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hey, find a couple people and say, are you running on empty? Find a couple people and say, are you running on empty? Are you running on empty? Some of you had more faith about Trubisky than you did about Jesus feeding the 5,000. Like, yes, he can do it, and he'll do it again. 85 Bears coming out. Running on empty. That's the name of this message or this talk or whatever you want to call it. Some say sermon. Some say message. Some say talk. You can call it a small message because that's all of them together that I just made up myself. But this one's called Running on Empty. I don't know about you, but have you ever like been driving your car and the gas low light comes on and you take it as a challenge? Anybody else? I'm not the only one. Like, you're like, oh, let's see for real. Are you really low? We're half low, right? Like, as soon as that light comes on, you're like, we'll see about that. I got another week. I know it, right? Like, some of you gotten so good at it that you literally know down to, like, the last fume where you can make. Like, you roll into Thornton's. Like, you're like, timed it perfectly. Got it. I don't know about you, but I time that perfectly. Running on empty. It's like a challenge to me. And here's the thing, though, about our walk with Christ. If you believe or don't believe, we have a tendency as believers, and maybe if you're not a believer, to be running on empty. Do you just sometimes feel at the end of the week, sometimes not even at the end of the week, like you wake up Monday and by lunchtime your gas light goes on and you're just like, oh, we'll see about that. And you just keep chugging along, and find out at Wednesday you are broken on the side of the road just looking for someone to stop by to help you. Like, pick me back up. I'm not going to work. I'm not going back out there. My kids are mean. They are bullies. I'm staying up in my room. This is enough. Just me? Okay. Well, I'm running on empty. I think in the scripture, if you guys want to know what's actually happening, I love context. I love telling you what's going on in scripture so you understand it more. Like, what was actually happening in that time? Jesus said in the beginning, Mark was writing, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and he says, the apostles came to report to Jesus all that had happened. Okay, Sean, what are they talking about, all that had happened? Before we read the scripture, Jesus actually looked at his followers, and he sent them out, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you might say, what's the Holy Spirit? We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus came, fully God and fully man. He was God's Son, and the Holy Spirit was what was living inside of him, empowering him to heal, do miracles, preach with authority, walk and live a sinless life, even though we sin. And when he went to the cross, he died in our place. He was put in the grave, and scripture says that the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead, the Holy Spirit, now lives in every single believer. Whoa. Think about that. Like, the same thing that rose Jesus from the grave, he says, when you are a follower of Christ, I now place that in you so that you can do the works of Jesus. And so he empowers his disciples. They go out and they heal. They go out and they cast out demons. They go out and they do all these crazy things in the name of Jesus, preaching the gospel with authority. And they come back and they begin to tell Jesus everything that they have done. Jesus, like, allows them to go. And they're like telling them what's happening. But I know one thing, being a pastor on Sunday, Monday morning, I am exhausted. If you haven't found out now, I'm passionate about this message. I start yelling. I get excited. I'm not mad. I'm just excited. I'm pumped. You yell at the Bears game, I yell about God's word. Like, don't judge me. I'm excited about the message of God. He sounds weird. So do you when you paint your body and say, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. I just say, Jesus, and touchdown, because I like football too.
And the thing is they're telling these stories, and Jesus notices they're exhausted, because when you do ministry, you begin to run on empty because it takes a lot out of you, and that's fine. So Jesus says, let's go to a solitary place and take a nap. Let's go get some rest. And they're like, that sounds good, Jesus. Let's go do that. I hear the Bears are playing the Eagles. Let's turn that on too. Whatever the Sky Angel back in the day, whatever that satellite looked like, there was visions. This, give us a vision of the Bears game. And they were chilling and resting. But on their way to rest, the people were so enthralled by Jesus and the disciples that they ran ahead of the boat, and they actually beat him there. And as soon as he stepped off for rest, there was more people. And Jesus didn't say, sorry, we're going to take a nap. It said he was moved with compassion, and he began to teach them. Now, Jesus, that's awesome. Like, that's great. But remember, I'm not Jesus. I'm learning to be like Jesus. I would be the disciple saying, I am exhausted. I don't want to deal with people. I don't want to look at people. I don't want to talk to people. I want to go into my introverted hut and read a book because that's what I like to do. Give me a book. Let me rest. But Jesus is like, no, we're going to talk to them too. And so they get right back in. They're already running on empty because of everything God has done. Listen, they're running on empty. The people begin to hear Jesus. They start getting hungry. Their stomachs are empty. They have nothing in their hands to feed them. Their hands are empty. And the last thing is, they're in a remote place with no food around. They're in an empty place. Empty disciples, empty people's stomachs, empty hands, in an empty place. Yet Jesus does his greatest miracle in emptiness. I just want to talk to you a little bit about today about if you're running on empty, you should be encouraged today, because God can walk into an empty situation and leave it full. That's the Jesus we serve. So as we're going along this message, the first thing I want to talk about are the perks of emptiness. The perks to emptiness. Me and my wife, we get to sit down with people and get to know people more, and we have amazing people in our life who encourage us and our marriage. Because let's just be honest. If you want to grow in your life, you should find someone who's doing it better than you and sit down with them and just stop talking and listen. Because when you do that, you can actually get ideas on how your marriage can be better, how your life can be better. And so we did that. And we got to talk with a couple empty nesters recently. And we were just curious. Empty nesters are people whose kids have now are out of school. And they're living life. They're in the house. And now there's no one at the house anymore. So for 18, 19, 20, 40, 50, wherever you are. No judgment. Just take your Xbox. Go somewhere else. But the thing is as soon as the last person leaves, it's like empty nest kicks in. And we got to talk to them about, like, is that hard? Like, yeah, it's difficult. You know, it's like there's not as much laughter as we hear. Even though we laugh, it's just not as exuberant, or the traditions are different. And this time they have to work. And so it's like kind of a hard time for them. But we like to make sure that we focus on positive too. I was like, so what's the good things about it? Because we learned a few weeks ago to look at the good, not the critical. And I'm like, so are there perks? Like, oh, yeah, there's perks. Like, if we're hungry, and we're just like five, some of them had five kids, like, and we have to make food. Like, one of them was like, we can just choose to go to Bernardi's. Like, perks of emptiness. I don't have to make food for six of those kids who don't even say thank you when they're done. I can go to Bernardi's and have them make me food and not say thank you when they'll say thank you. Or some of them were talking about, you know, there's perks to it because if we want to go, we can just get up and go. We can plan easy. If we're trying to make a decision, we don't have to find four or eight people making a decision. We can make the decision. And I don't want to get too in-depth, but for some of my married folk, empty nest just means, well, don't look at me weird. It's natural. Like, God created it. It's just like, we can do that at the daytime now? The sun's still out. Is this possible? Yeah, empty nest. The perks of empty. Don't look at me weird. The perks of emptiness. Sean, what are you trying to get here? Because I am now very weirded out about this church. I guess what I'm trying to say is, if you look at the story, there was a perk to their emptiness. Jesus sees emptiness as an entrance. Are you feeling empty today? You came to the right place. Because at this place, we just believe that God can step into an empty situation and turn it into a full situation before you leave. He gets involved with our life. And you may came in empty, but I've just been praying all week that you would leave full of his spirit, full of his joy, full of his peace. Some of you have been in sorrow and grief for too long. What does it say? Sorrow may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. You may came in this place empty, but you're going to leave today full, because our Jesus walks in to empty situation and just feeds the 5,000. Like, what? Say something. The perks of emptiness. But not just this. Didn't this happen the first time here? Look at Genesis 1:2. Let's go back to the beginning. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. God looks down, sees an empty situation, and says, I'm going to create. And from an empty situation, he does this miracle called creation. But it doesn't stop there. We see throughout Scripture, there was a time where people ran out of wine at a party. And Jesus steps in and says, bring me the water. That was an empty situation, and he turns water into wine. It's crazy to think how many empty situations actually become full through Christ. Look at the Old Testament. There's this guy named Abraham and Sarah. And God said, I'm going to give you a child, even though they were well over 100 years old. Like, he's like, God, like, I get it, but we are like, it's done. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's over with. You know, I know we're empty nesters and we can, the daytime thing and all that, that's great, but it's just not working. Like, it's not going anywhere. He goes, no, you'll have a child. Why? Because I see your wife's empty, barren womb, but I can do a great miracle. And Isaac was born, and through the bloodline of Isaac, we get Jesus. It's so crazy to look at all these situations. Mary, remember the Virgin Mary? She was empty. She didn't have a boyfriend. She was with Joseph. She was engaged to be married. She's kept herself pure and blameless before God. And God looks at her, and she may feel empty, but God says, I know that your womb is empty, but I'm going to give the Son, the Savior, my Son, the Savior of the world into your situation. And it says, nothing is impossible for me. God walks into empty seasons and leaves them full. Holy Spirit in Acts. Jesus leaves. He says, stay in one place, and I'm going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. They're all waiting. And at one time, the Holy Spirit comes. It says, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Why? So we could walk as Jesus walked. You know why the Holy Spirit came? Not just so that we could have good comfort when we're uncomfortable. The Holy Spirit came so we could actually look like Jesus on earth as he went to heaven. You know, the healings and all the things he did and the authority he had? That was the Holy Spirit that now lives within us. And sometimes we run on empty. But before we go any further, I just want to give you a little bit of hope today. If you came in empty, get your hope up, because Jesus can come into your situation, and before you leave today, he can fill you. If he filled the whole earth with sun, moon, cosmos, grass, and everything around, he can fill your empty soul today too, because there's a perk to being empty. The next thing I want to talk about is being empty isn't always a bad thing, but staying empty is. Being empty, guys, is not a bad thing. Now, some of you are like, well, that kind of contradicts everything you just said. When I'm talking about being empty, some of you have never made a decision to follow Christ. You don't know what it means, and you're walking in this life trying to fill something that's empty, and you still feel empty at the end of the day. Now, I want to encourage you, when you follow Christ, even though it's like we act like we have it all together, now don't let me fool you. You may come in today and be like, man, I want faith like those people. As Christians, we've just learned and have done really good at learning how to put a mask on when we walk in the church. It's just something we do, like, God, blessed and highly favored. And I was screaming at my kids on the way here. But when I walk into here, everything is just fine. And we do that. And I've realized so many times that our church has become a place where we can take that mask off, and that we can be real with our people around us without feeling judged or saying, you deal with what, but that we can come in and pray with you and encourage, say, hey, be open with whatever you're going through, because there's a God who already knows it, and he wants to help you through it. And so in the scripture, being empty means as Christians, we still can be empty. But if we stay empty, we won't be effective for what God's asked us to do. If we go back to the story, Skyler, can you pull up Mark 6? I'm going to take them real fast, and I'm going to show them verse 36. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and village and buy them something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. They said to him, that would take more than a half year's wages. Are we going to spend that much on bread and give them to eat? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. Go and see. When they find out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Do you ever feel like God's calling you to do something, but you're on empty? You ever feel like God's like, hey, you do it. And you're like, but I don't got what it takes. You want me to make a difference? Have you seen me? Have you seen my family? Have you seen their family? I'm just another fifth generation of what's been happening in my family. He goes, I know. You see, Jesus, he walks on the basketball court, you know, the pickup games, and he doesn't look for all the strong players, right? He's not like, hey, you can dunk, you're on my team. No, that's not Jesus. Like, Jesus goes on the basketball court and goes, your shoes are tied together. You're on my team. Yeah, come on over. Your jersey's on backwards. You should be on my team too. That's great. Yeah, you're like 4'8". Perfect. You're on my team as well. And he goes in picking the second string, but here's the cool thing. He uses the second string to do great things. Why? So we don't get the glory. But God says, look at what I did through just normal people who trusted abnormal God, a natural person and a supernatural God. He goes and says, yeah, you. I like the 4'8 thing because I'm 5'6". So I'm like, yeah, pick me, Jesus. I'll dunk it. I'll dunk. I got this. Can you get down so I can jump off your back, please? All right. I don't know about you, but Peter comes in, or one of the disciples come in, and he says, okay, God, Jesus, it's getting late. They're tired. They have empty stomachs. Tell them to go find some food because they're going to starve. AKA, Jesus, we're actually hungry. And if you send them off, then we can go eat too, right? No, just me. Like, that's my motive. Like, yeah, you should send them out. It's their fault. And I'm like, I'm starving. Because remember, the disciples were hungry too. And Jesus answered with such a profound statement. He says this, you give them something to eat. Okay, Jesus, right? Like, no, send them off. And he goes, no, you give them something to eat. I love this. Because even though they are running on empty, Jesus builds his church. He said 2,000 plus years ago, on this rock to Peter, I will build my church, which is a gathering. It's not a place. It's not brick and mortar. If this place burns down, we're still going to worship God and still grow. Just going to let you know, this thing is not our faith. We're blessed by it. Thank you, Jesus. But when we outgrow it, we're going to need something else anyways in the first place. And looking at the last two experiences, we got to do something soon because God is blowing this thing up. But the church is the people inside the building, not the brick and mortar. And he said, on this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And for 2,000 plus years, the church has not stopped growing. Religion has died, but the church of Jesus Christ hasn't. Religion and man-made ideas have died, but Jesus' word is still flourishing. I love that. Because people say the church is on decline. If you look at denominations or religion, it is. But if you look at what God's doing in other places, it is growing by leaps and bounds. Because Jesus made a promise. And he says this, though. He builds his church, but get this, guys. He asks you and I to help build it. That's an honor. Our kids director prays all the time. He says, God, I know I'm the kids director. He says this. He says, Lord, you don't need me, but you have called me. Think about that. He doesn't need us to do this. He can do it his own, yet he calls us to be a part of it because he wants to collaborate with. He wants us to understand what we're here for. And he looks at one of the disciples. He says, you feed them. You do something. Can I tell you, in church life, we are so focused on problems that we hardly come with solutions. And one of the disciples came, he said, here's the problem. We're in a remote place. People are hungry. People have nothing. We're getting tired. We're exhausted. Problem, 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 problem. And Jesus looks and says, quit talking about the problem. I've called you to be the solution. He says that still today because a lot of us are complaining about our town. We're complaining about the heroin epidemic. We're complaining about all these things that are going on. And it is a problem. But God has said, now listen, I know that's the problem, but do something about it. You're the church of Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. You get out there and love people. You go fill those empty spaces. You do something. I think about when there was 10 of us in my living room. And we grew really fast because there was like 5 of us. And then the Mueller's came and they have like 6 kids. So we grew like 100% in the first weekend. Like, woo! It's growing. And we were in our living room praying. I remember God said, we want to start a church. And we just prayed. And he said, you do something. Okay, we'll do something. I don't know where you are today, but we got to stop complaining about the problems and start being the solutions. Every empty space you come into this week out there, people who are empty, people who need, we were called to fill that because Jesus said, you feed them. And he's still saying it today. Sean, you feed them. You feed them. It's crazy. In ministry life, there's a lot of churches who do tons of ministries. Like, we do this, but we do that, and we do this. And when are we going to start this? And when are we going to have a dog knitting party, you know, where we knit sweaters for dogs? It's a good outreach. I know it's going to bless so many people. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And we have all these ideas. And people sometimes hear me wrong in my heart, hear me right. We don't have a lot of ministries here. We like to stay focused. We have our weekend experiences with the kids in here. We do our outreach, and we have our Wednesday for Tribe in our groups. And that's what we do, and it's working. Because I don't want to have 15 different ministries that are bogging our ministry down. We can be effective, and we can equip our people to actually embrace their culture. We already got a food pantry. We don't need another one. Just go help the one that's already in town. Meet the need. Sean, we really need a food pantry. We got one. Go serve. What are we saying? Sean, there's a lot of young Christians who are coming to this church. Praise God. That's why we started this. We started this for people who don't do church. And we make that a problem. Well, it's messy. Of course it is. I'm messy. I've been doing this for 10 years, and I'm messy. And so God's had patience with me. Instead of looking at the problem, like, well, these people need to be encouraged. You should preach about this. We should do this. We should do that. And I'm like, or you could start a group. Do something. I believe a lot of empty dreams and destinies have been stopped because we just didn't do something. He says, do something. As they take steps, God begins to multiply their steps. Could I tell you the thing that's burdening you right now? Do something. Pay for them. There's someone right now, you know they need Christmas presents. And what happens? We go to the church. These people need Christmas presents. Stop using the church as a crutch. God's asked you to do it. Now, we still help. Of course we give the people. Of course we help people. But a lot of people, God has specifically put something on your heart to bless. And what we do is we run to the church and say, you do something. And God's like, no, wait. I told you to do something. You pay for their lunch. You take care of their dinner. You get them the Christmas present they've been looking for. You fill those stomachs. Genesis 1:28 says this, back in the beginning, God blessed them, that's mankind, man, this is after he made man and woman, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. It was so cool, we even got to name them. We got to name, so you can blame Adam and Eve when they named like aardvark or platypus, like what was he thinking? Like, it looks like a platypus. Good job, Adam. That looks like a cat. Okay. It says, fill the earth. From the beginning, church, we were called to go to empty space and fill it. We were called to look for empty vessels and fill it. Jesus came to fill us with his presence, and he did. And now we have been filled with his presence. So what? So we can go and fill others. But what happens as believers is even though we're called to fill, what happens when we fill? Who becomes empty? I mean, this is literally like 101. Like you take a cup, right, and you dump it, and you're filling someone else's cup. What's happening to this cup? It's emptying. And this right here is the dilemma we have in church. We have so many burned out Christians. We have so many burned out followers of Christ. Their marriages are suffering. Their families are suffering. Their life is suffering, and we go out with our mess. Not saying that God can't use it, but I'm talking about people who've been following Christ for a while, and everything's breaking apart. Not saying this is how you came. I'm talking about you've been walking with Christ, and nothing, it's just everything's falling apart because you're burnt out. And we look, and we say, hey, you should come to church. It'll help you so much. I'm sorry, I'm crying. I've just been so miserable. Like, we come so empty. What kind of advertisement are we for God if we've been following him for 20 years and we still look the same as the first time we followed him? God loves you so much where you are, but he loves you way too much to keep you there. Not just a grace that saves you from sin, but a grace that empowers you to walk away from the things that kill your destiny, to walk away from the things that keep pulling you back. There's grace is not just to cover you, it's to empower you. It's a powerful thing. And he says, you go and feed them, you fill them. But what happens is we begin to feel empty. And here's where I am. I told you, if you're empty, God can fill you. If you've been filled, maybe you're in an empty season right now. We tell our squad members all the time, there's seasons that they pour out so much. And we're so thankful for our squad members. They're here. Some of them are serving every weekend, two experiences every single weekend, so we can enjoy what's going on. We got people right now running the camera. We got people running the slides for you. We got someone running the sound. We got the baptism team and the ushers, and we got people back in the kids and the parking lot, and constantly they're pouring out. And what happens is it can be easy to be burnt out. And the number one question we ask right away, and the thing we try driving home is, How is your walk with Christ? Because what happens is people get burnout and they blame the church for their burnout, yet they weren't spending time with Christ Monday through Saturday. Stop blaming other people for your walk with Christ. Stop. You're not going to get anywhere. It's so easy to blame everybody else for not growing. It's so easy to blame everybody else because you're still holding on to bitterness. Stop blaming others, even if it was their fault. God is giving you the Holy Spirit to say, I'm done complaining about this. I'm going to stand on up. I know they did that to me, but they're not going to rule my destiny. They're not going to stop me from experiencing all that Christ has for me. Stop letting something from 12 years ago getting in the way of what God wants to do today. Drop it back there. Take responsibility. Stop blaming and say, Jesus, you're bigger than this. So here's the thing I want to encourage you with. If you're feeling empty or burnt out, I'm not saying you're not spending time with God. We go through wilderness seasons, but listen, sometimes God takes us through a dry season to show us just how fulfilling God is. Sometimes God dries up our resources to show us that He is the resource. Sometimes God takes us through the wilderness so we stop depending on everybody else and what everybody else says. He'll take us through a time of isolation to realize we don't need their pats on the back. We don't need their applause. If God is pleased with me, then that's all I need to do what He has called me to do. Sometimes you might be empty so He can fill you with everything He has. He will empty you of things that won't last so He can fill you with the thing that has. Is that what He said to the Samaritan woman? Who was at the water? She was at the well looking for water. She's had five husbands and she was like now with her sixth. He says, hey, listen. He had a conversation. He goes, I know you've had five husbands. You keep trying to fill that void. Let me tell you something today. I'm the living water. You can keep dating. You can keep marrying. But guess what? The next time you get it, won't fill it. What was he saying? Choose me and I'll fill that empty void. I love that about Christ. And so back to what I was trying to say in this scripture is that if you feel yourself empty, today, no matter where, if you're a new believer, if you've been doing this for a while, guys, we have got to take time to fill up. We got to fill up. Why? Because we're emptying. It's okay to feel empty. Guys, as soon as this experience is over, 10 minutes, give me 10 minutes, maybe 12. As soon as this is over, I'm going to go home, and my kids are going to be jumping on my back, on my stomach, and I'm going to be going. Because I'll be tired. And I'll feel empty. But tomorrow morning, in my schedule, I have a time that says, Sean, fill up. Because I've learned after 3 years, if I don't fill up after Sunday, I am going to be nothing to anybody throughout the week. Why? Because I'm pouring out. Some of you need to do some soaps. Everyone say soap. You're going to remember it now. Say soap. I'm going to get my soul clean. So, S, scripture. O, observe. A, apply. P, prayer. Soap. If you have an accountability partner, ask them before they go to bed, have you done your soap today? What does it mean? Find a scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. That's your scripture. Observe it. Wow. Jesus loved me so much that He died for me. Observe it. Apply it. Lord, I'm going to live like You have forgiven me, so I'm going to forgive others. How can I apply that? Pray over it. Lord, thank You so much for forgiving me. Thank You for loving me. It's just talking. If you can talk, if you can complain, you can pray. How about that? Oh, no. I was like, boom, 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 boom. Just talk with God. Just talk. He can handle your complaints, but don't stop. Don't make sure you thank Him, too. And just talk to Him. Scripture, observe, apply, pray. Take 10 minutes. I promise you. Sean, my schedule's too full. You're too busy for God. You're telling me that I got to rearrange everything for God? Yes. Because when we choose Christ, we say, God, You know me. You know my family. You're for me. You obviously sent Your Son to die for me. You want a full life for me. I'm going to make time for You. If you made time to get that crock pot for $20 on Thursday, you can make time for God in your life because at the end of the day, the crock pot can only make beef, but Jesus can change your entire future. He is worth it. He is worthy. Make some time. Just let Him pour into you. Just let Him fill you. It takes faith. I'm not trying to condemn you. You're like, Sean, I feel empty. That's fine. It takes time. You don't have to be perfect at it. You can come broken. You can come empty. I've never prayed in my life. That's fine. Just talk to Him. Open up the scripture. I don't know what it means. Write it down and ask a friend. Google it. We got Google nowadays. Praise God. But when you feel empty, realize that God wants to fill you. So if you're here, especially if you're a squad member, please listen up. We love you so much in what you're doing. You're not doing this for me. You're not doing this for anybody else besides Christ. And it's affecting people's eternity. Someone texted me this week and said, Sean, we're thankful for you and your wife and the church because what you have done has affected eternity. Whoa. Talk about, I can't eat my turkey because I'm sobbing everywhere. What you're doing is affecting eternity. And God cares so much about you that he wants to keep you filled up. That's why I said, let's go to a solitary place and rest. Jesus was taking care of his disciples. And they end up doing this, by the way, too. Take a nap. Read God's word. Sit in a room for 10 minutes with worship music on over you and just listen to the words. No distractions. I'm telling you, it will change everything. It will give you the strength you need. When we are weak, he is strong. And by the way, if you're praying for God to fill you, just remember he only fills empty vessels. He's already filled you and you keep praying for him to fill you. He's just saying, how about you take it outside the four walls now? We're notorious to get in our Christian kumbaya circles and spend 4 days in our worship circle in our living room. Now, living room worship is great. I'm not dismissing it. We do it. But if you're doing it all week and you're not taking it out there, God can't keep filling you. You got to empty out so he can fill you back up. That's the walk with Christ. Empty, full, empty, full, empty, full. It's just run to him when you feel empty. And the last thing is, as we're closing, Landon's plate is emptiness was filled through thankfulness. I got 5 minutes to finish this. Emptiness was filled through thankfulness. Jesus says, go and do something. You feed them. They come back with their Lunchable, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus takes it, looks up to heaven, and he says, thanks. Thank you, God, for this Lunchable. There's 5,000 people. Wait, 5,000 men. There was about 15,000 to 20,000 people if you considered all the families. That's crazy. He says, thank you. Could you imagine the disciples like, does he remember how many people are out here? Okay. Like, right? Like, he says, thanks. And he begins to distribute it. And what was limited in the hands of Jesus became unlimited. You see, guys, in this story, a lot of people come to this and thankfulness actually opens the doors. But look at what it says in Matthew's account of the same story. This is what Matthew said. But we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Jesus gave thanks for what they had. The other one was complaining about what they had. Did you know that when you complain what's already in your house, you are literally not acknowledging the gift God's placed in you? When we complain about the things we don't have, that means we are mad about the things God gave us. He says, go find something in the house. There's got to be something, right? When you're looking for the food after Thanksgiving, there's nothing in the shelves. There's got to be something we can cook. Refried beans, let's do it. We're not spending money. Like, there's got to be something. And what happens is what we do is say, God, I know I'm running on empty. I only have this Lunchable. I only have a few dollars. I'm not very smart. I'm this old. I don't have much to give. I'm limited here. And Jesus says, that's okay. Because I can take what's limited and turn it to unlimited. Because we may be limited, but we serve an unlimited God. Guys, remember? 10 people in a living room. And this week we're breaking 400 people who have come to these doors this weekend. Limited. Why? Guys, I'm not the smartest person alive. I can act like it up here. Like, man, he must be so deep in the scripture. No, I was a C student. Remember, I'm 5'6", right? I'm this guy that everyone looked over like, oh, Sean, he's a friend with everyone. He's average. He's Corey Matthews from Boy Meets World. You guys know what I'm saying? Like, he's just that guy. Everyone overlooks him, and God says, perfect. I feel limited, God. That's fine. Just give me what you have. Because he's not asking to give him everything. He just says, give me what you have, and I can feed the thousands with it. Church, if we understand this mindset, we will go out and we will fill spaces like never before. A lot of us are waiting until we have enough resources to step out. He says, you all have enough resources. I use the Lunchable to fill 5,000 people. You may have 20 bucks to your name, but if I'm calling you to do it, I'll turn that 20 bucks into exactly what you need to start that business, exactly what you need to put that kid in school, exactly what you need to finish out the degree you've been looking for. Just give me what you have. Trust me with it, and I am an unlimited God. Can he do it? Yes, he can. He can. We have an unlimited God. He gives thanks. And guys, it was thankfulness that preceded the miracle. Worship team, coming up. It's thankfulness that came before the miracle. Instead of thanking God after the miracle, which is a good thing, what if we started thanking God before it happened? That's just crazy, Sean. That's faith, church. Jesus, there's scripture where his best friend Lazarus died, and he's in the tomb. And as he gets there, he's been dead for a few days. People are crying. God looks at the situation. Jesus looks at the situation. It says he gives thanks to God. And after he says, Lazarus, come out. Scholars say he had to say, Lazarus, come out, because if he just said, come out, every dead person on earth would have walked out of that grave. He said, Lazarus, come out. But what do you do first? Thank you. Thank you. God, I know I don't have much, but thank you for my paycheck. I see you doing something with this one. God, I know I haven't had the provision yet, but thank you for what I have. I know my house is small, and I know that we have 4 kids in here, and we're believing for something bigger, but we're still here, so thank you. Because thankfulness always preceded the miracle. And when we're thankful, we just get to look at what God has given us. God wants to use our limited resources to do unlimited things. Why? So he can always get the glory. Jesus said, you feed them. And guys, at the end of the story, it says that they picked up, after everyone was stuffed, they picked up 12 basketfuls of food. Remember, the disciples were running on empty too. They were hungry. They were tired. I would have complained, God, before we help them, can we eat first? He said, no, you feed them first. Leaders eat last. Leaders eat last. He says, feed them. I'm not trying to insult your intelligence, but who remembers how many disciples there were? And how many basketfuls? Jesus said, if you help take care of my business, I can feed you more than you'd ever even need. Each disciple had a basketful to themselves. Could you imagine that? We're tired, God. We're exhausted. And they're collect. He goes, go collect it. He says, you go collect it. And they bring back 12 basketfuls. They're like, I see what you did there, Jesus. And every single disciple's need was now met. I'm here to tell you, quit focusing on what God needs to do in you. If you meet the need in others, God will always meet the need in you. If you put other people first, he will always take care of your situation. Stop living for yourself. Live for him and his kingdom, and he will take care of you. It doesn't make sense because we have to guard ourselves. But if you feed the 5,000, he's got a basket full waiting for you too. Who can you help this week? If you're about God's business, he'll stay in your business. That's who he is. So if you're running on empty today, God wants to fill you. Fill back up. Find time to do some soaps. And if you feel limited, it's okay. We serve an unlimited God. So whatever you have, give it to him. Step out this week. Start that business. Start that group. Start serving. Start that friendship. Start going to school. Whatever it is, give it in God's hands and watch him multiply and do it for other people. Lord, we thank you so much for what you're doing in this place. I pray, Father God, that there's people in here who just, they're empty and they need you in this moment. With eyes closed, if you're here today, really listen to my voice. Jesus, he knew that we all sinned. And because we sin, we are now separated from God. Actually, it says that since we're separated from God, we're eternally separated from God. And our destination is separated from God in hell. And God loved us too much for us to get to that place. That he sent his son Jesus to live the life we couldn't live and die the death we deserved on the cross to pay our debt, so that if we put our faith in Christ, Our old self is gone. Our new has come. We are a brand new creation. It takes faith. Not your works, just faith. Saying, God, thank you for sending Jesus. I need new life today. Forgive me of my past. I want to spend eternity with you. And in that moment, heaven meets earth. Your old is gone. Stop looking at the past. Your new has begun, a brand new journey in Christ. If you want to make that decision today, we're not going to ask you to do anything different besides raise your hand and respond. If you're here, say, Sean, don't worry about the people next to you. Say, I need Jesus today. I'm empty. I need him. Could you lift up your hand? Say, I want to make a decision to follow Christ. Thank you. Leave that hand up. This is bold. This is why we do what we do. Leave that hand up. I'm making the decision to follow Christ today. Leave that hand up bold. Church, we got people responding. Leave the hands up. Keep your eyes closed. Keep the hands closed. Keep the eyes closed. Lord, you see these hands, a response of what you want to do in this place. Church, let's pray this together with them. But if you rose your hand, pray this from your heart. God's about ready to do something that you may not feel, but you can believe is happening. Everyone say this together. Say, Father, thank you for sending Jesus in my place. I deserve the cross, but Jesus took it. I deserve shame, but you've given me grace. Forgive me for my wrong choices. I give them to you. I'm turning and following Jesus today. It's my brand new day, my brand new journey. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's give God a praise for what God did in this place. See, when people respond, it literally says, no longer are you in your sinful state. Now God sees you as he sees his son. He's well pleased with you. And we would encourage you that if you are a visitor or if you're going to be coming back, find a church you can plug in with people who can lift you up in your journey. You've been given a bag that's going to help with your journey. We would love for you to take the card off that bag and drop it by the hub just so that we can give you the tools you need to walk with Christ. But we thank you guys so much for coming out. What a full day of baptisms. What a full day of what God has done. New life in Christ. We never take that for granted. We love you guys so much. Have a blessed week. Go and look like Jesus.